Welcome to Wine Road, the wine, when, and where of Northern Sonoma County. I'm your host, Marcy Gordon, with Beth Costa, Executive Director of the Wine Road.
Thanks to Ron Rubin, we're able to keep our podcast rolling along. The financial support of River Road Family Vineyards and Winery allows us to keep recording, keep sipping wine, and keep sharing stories with our listeners. Check out their website at riverroadvineyards.com and explore their Chardonnay, Pinot Noir, and Old Vine Zinfandel from the Russian River Valley, as well as a finely crafted Cabernet Sauvignon from the Alexander Valley. That's riverroadvineyards.com. And hey, thanks, Ron, for allowing us to make this show happen.
Welcome to Drumroll, Please.
I know, we do have to have a drum
roll. It is our 200th episode.
Da-da-da-da! I'm so excited.
So, folks, today we made it. It's been 8 years that Beth and Marcy have been podcasting. And today's guest is really someone integral to the success of this show.
No,
our engineer, our know-it-all recording artist, Richard Ross,
yes.
Owner
Thank
of
you.
Threshold Studios, yes. Where we record. Welcome, Richard.
I'm thrilled to be on. This is going to be fun.
I'm so excited because, like I said a couple of shows ago, and there was a time when I thought, I don't think we can really keep doing the show. And Richard's like, you have to keep doing the show. I don't know if we can do it.
And cannot stop. This show has been really the source for all of Richard's entertainment for the last 6 years. He does everything we talk about. He goes and reports back. He's like our number one fan and our best sound engineer that makes our show sound great. I mean, Beth's going to get into us a little bit, but I think some of the awards we've won are basically because the show sounds great.
Mm. Oh,
you know,
absolutely.
It's like you can't go, you know, your content can be wishy-washy, but it better sound good.
Right.
And we've got both. We've got wishy and washy and good and great sound.
It does sound great. And so I think, let's start. Can we start with wine?
I don't know.
I think we should start with wine.
Think?
You guys never drink when you
do
the show.
We never have any wine.
I think so.
It's a celebratory show, though. So.
Yeah. So we thought we'd all bring a wine, and I want to share my wine first.
You go.
Okay.
You go, girl.
Go.
Okay. What's your wine?
I don't think Marcy's not going to be surprised when she sees this.
Ooh.
I brought.
Oh my gosh.
The Russian River Vineyard Bacigalupi, a Chardonnay.
That's a special.
This is actually,
episode.
And I said to my husband, "Oh my gosh, I kind of hate to open that, but."
For Marcy and Richard.
then again, this is definitely one of my favorite Chardonnays. I'm not a big Chardonnay drinker, generally speaking. And we had Gio from Russian River Vineyards on the show, I don't know, it was probably 8 months ago at this point. And he brought a Chardonnay. And I thought, oh, you know, okay, whatever. And then he poured it. And I thought, oh, my God. I mean, I've probably bought at least a case of this. And at the time, it's not an inexpensive Chardonnay.
No.
And at the time, I said to him, oh, my God, that's so out of my league. And then I just keep going and buying a couple bottles at a time.
You've risen your league.
I've risen my league.
You've joined a new league.
And so I would also say, so I'll pour some for everybody. Beth first. That's just the way I roll. And Richard, you want a little Chardonnay? Nice. Richard, he's like, oh my God.
Pour myself
he's
first.
Like, yeah, I'm going to be drinking in the studio. So my husband and I celebrated our anniversary a couple of months ago. And he made this really amazing chicken dinner, and he was going to open some wine. He goes, I'll just drink something white. I know that's what you want. And he's really a big Cabernet.
Mr. Concession.
He's a big Cabernet and Zinfandel drink. He really never drinks any white wine. And I thought, well, if I'm going to open something, I'm opening this. So this is what I opened, and he loved it, which I thought was nice that he loved it. But then I said, but I don't really want to share it.
I don't want you to get too attached to it.
Oh, there we go. Happy 200. Mm. Isn't this an amazing Chardonnay?
It's beautiful. It's a perfect celebratory wine for our 200th episode.
I like this paired with just my backyard, sitting in a chair, looking at my flowers. So, Richard.
Yes.
I want people to know kind of about this studio and sort of a co-worker, Rebecca Jermalis, works for with the Wine Road. She does our blogs. And she helps me with different marketing ideas. She's just a great resource for me when I'm kind of stuck with an idea and like, Rebecca, what do you think? So when Marcy and I started the podcast, what Rebecca thought at the time was, you girls really need some help. God, doesn't sound very good. And she's a friend of yours.
Yes.
So she introduced us.
Yeah.
And like, we had no idea what happened at this little studio in the hills in Sebastopol. Uh-huh. So how did it come to be, and what do you record out here?
Well, first of all, Dave and Rebecca are friends of ours from quite a ways back. We used to live in Santa Rosa before we moved out to Sebastopol. And she sent me an email, or she called me. She said, I have some friends that need help with a podcast.
Because we were starting to have a lot of technical issues.
Yeah. Well, like, just the sound is, you know, when you're recording in your garage, that's what it sounds like.
So, sorry to back up. Yeah. So my background is I have a master's in composition and theory, music. So I have a big music background and audio engineering. They all go hand in hand. And I used to, when we lived in Santa Rosa, one of the bedrooms in the house was my studio.
Nice. Yeah.
And so I recorded my son's first album there, which is a crack up.
Oh, my gosh.
I actually
gosh.
Did it, and I did my first Crystal and Dream CD was recorded in that bedroom.
But oh, my gosh.
It's they sound like they were done in a studio, which is a crack up. But Donna and I really wanted to move out to Sebastopol. We had our heart set on it.
It's so beautiful.
We love it.
Ended up, yeah.
And we really lucked out. We sold our old house and got a real estate agent that was pretty aggressive. And we looked at, I'm not kidding you guys, like 50 homes.
I'm sure.
Well, yeah.
It was nuts. And so we found this place. And the studio used to be a big garage where a guy worked on diesel trucks here. We had a big rolling door on one side.
Oh, my gosh.
So, you know, Donna said, this is perfect. This is going to be a great studio. Yeah. So my son, Corey, he lives over in Roanoke Park. And actually, can I say?
Yes.
I'm going to be a grandfather in
a
month.
Yay.
That is the biggest thing on Richard's mind
right now. Yes.
Really, really excited.
It's so cute.
Yeah, yeah. So Corey and Alana live in Roanoke Park. But anyway, he helped me strip the studio down to the wood frame. We pretty much demolished it. Then we hired a contractor and an architect and had it done properly with, you know, insulated
soundproofing
walls
and
soundproofing
and
all that kind of stuff. And then it's, you know, we have a grand piano in the studio, which is really nice. And
it's a beautiful studio, folks. And it's just, you know, Richard, you're a real success story out in Sebastopol. You have so many projects.
Understatement.
You do. We are like low on the totem pole for what you do, but you do really high-end movie soundtracks and recording and voiceover work. It's, you know, Sebastopol, there's a lot of artists live here, so it's not unusual that you found yourself here and now your dream studio.
Yeah. It's funny, like Peter Coyote comes over all the time, and Beth and Peter use the same microphone.
Yes, Beth always mentions that.
It says it on the microphone. Beth and Peter, I'm like, oh my gosh.
Yeah. So, yeah, we do a lot of voiceover work. I do audio post-production and sound design for movies and television commercials. And then I have my own group, Crystal and Dream. Corey plays in three bands. And then we always rope my daughter, Kirsten, who's up in Windsor. She's a digital artist, and she does the album covers.
She does amazing artwork.
It's a family affair.
But her artwork is just magical. Yeah. Yeah. So tell the listeners about Crystal and Dreams.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's a group I started in 2006, and we've released four albums now, and the fifth one's going to be coming out hopefully this spring. And it's a crossover between classical and new age, and actually kind of that blend. Mm-hmm. And it's acoustic instruments. I have guest artists on the album, and we'll also do some electronic stuff. And I've had people like Alex Kelly, a cellist from San Francisco. He's great. My son Corey plays guitar on the album. Yeah, Peter Phippen, he's a shakuhachi player.
Oh, that's like a wooden flute.
It's a beautiful sound. He did the last album. He was on a couple of tracks for that.
I think it was probably the second album you had. You gave me the CD when we first started recording here. And I thought, well, you know, this isn't really the kind of music I generally listen to. I'm more of like the Rolling Stones kind of girl. And so, but I put it in the car. And I don't think I took that CD out for probably 2 years.
Oh,
I mean, it just played constantly. It was amazing to me how it changed. Just like when we interviewed the ladies from Rock and Vino,
Michelle and Coco.
How music just affects every you.
Yeah.
I mean, I found that when I'd get in the car, either to start my day or to end my day, and have that music playing, it just put me in a whole different frame of mind. I loved it. Mm. I just love it. I just feel like it's a spa treatment while I'm driving down the freeway. I'm like, oh my God, I'm definitely never
taking
this
officer,
out.
Sorry, officer, the cucumber slices on my eyes. I couldn't see the red light.
I was so relaxed. So yeah, I want to make sure that our listeners will put links to all that in the show notes because it really is just a great, great sound. I love it.
Who do we have on the line now?
Hi, this is Renee Perry from Papa Pietro Perry Winery. I just want to say congratulations on your 200th episode. It's so great what you're doing for all of us here in Wine Country and getting everyone to know what we do here and why we love it. Thanks so much and congratulations.
Thank you. Thanks for calling. So I think one of the things that I've loved the most about doing the recording here is as soon as we end every show, we know from the look on Richard's face if that was a success or not. You walk out and he'll be like, wow, that was such a great show. And the other time he's like, yeah, you know, that was pretty good.
He's always supportive. I think there was only one time when all three of us went like,
that wasn't so great.
But, yeah. In post-production, miracles happen.
Well, out of 200 episodes.
Yeah. It's hard to believe we're at 200.
Yeah, I tell people. You know, they ask about podcasting here, and they said they have 200 episodes. Most podcasts, what you were saying,
they don't last that long. No. People get up, if they get to 10, it's even considered a lot.
Right.
Beth and I spoke at the Podcast Movement, which is like the world's biggest podcast conference. Mm-hmm. And so people are all gung ho, but making that time happen for little to no sponsorship or pay can really put a crimp in your passion. You have to be very dedicated.
It's a lot to do. And like we can beat 200 episodes because Marcy and I, at this point, we show up and do the interview and do the podcast. But I have someone in the office at the Wine Road now who's scheduling guests, and that takes time because you have to confirm and, you know, touch base one more time and make sure that they're going to show up. And then, you know, Richard with the sound engineering, then Marcy edits, and then Liana again has to upload the show notes for one person to try and do it all.
It takes a team.
It's not
And a lot of podcasts, especially if they're going to do weekly, every week, if you run out of runway really quick because it happens really fast. So I think our every other week, it still feels like it comes up so quick, but it's a good pace. And I think listeners, they are ready to listen to the next podcast every other week. I think it's a good time interval. And plus being for the Wine Road and of the Wine Road, there's so many great guests in this area living in Sonoma County. We have a great rich topic. It adds because we're not fumbling around like, what are we going to talk about or who are we going to have on?
I know you guys have said that they recognize your voice at a wine tasting event or something.
It's so funny.
And Don and I went on a vacation to Victoria and we're taking the ferry from Seattle up to BC. And somebody in the seat behind us on the ferry was listening to a Wine Road podcast.
That just blows my mind.
I tell you that before?
Yeah.
Oh, I couldn't believe it.
On the ferry to Victoria, they're listening to the Wine Road podcast.
I couldn't figure out what episode it was, but I could hear it.
Did you tell them who you were?
No, I'm not. You know,
come on. That was the perfect opportunity.
That's so cute.
Yeah.
Yeah, Marcy and I both have had people recognize her voice. For me, I think I have this loud, obnoxious laugh, so people usually hear my laugh somewhere and like, are you from the podcast? So like,
it's usually at Wine Road events. I'll be talking to the winemaker or standing there and people come up, are you Marcy Gordon? And I'm always like, I never want to say yes because I always think it's a summons server and, you know, here's a summons, you're being sued. And so I never want to say who I am. I'm like, who wants to know?
Yeah, it could be Marcy Gordon. Oh my God. Okay. I just finished off my Chardonnay. Do we have any other wine here today?
What do you got, Richard?
I can't wait. We kept a secret from each other what we're
pouring. Motion Vineyard 2019 Estate Pinot Noir.
Oh, my gosh.
I'll let you pour.
It's a good thing this is the last show of the day. What are you going to do with your glass there, Mars? You have a cup. You want to dump it in your cup?
I'll dump it in my mouth.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I think you can't throw out that.
For future shows.
That's good, Richard. I still have work to do later today. She's got half a glass of Pinot.
I
mean, good God.
What are you trying to do to me here, mister?
So let's talk about this beautiful wine, Motion Pinot Noir.
Well, I like the color. It's super dark burgundy color.
And there's a spice.
Yeah, it is pretty.
Cherry, black fruits, and some coffee and almonds.
I'll say spot on.
Did I get it?
Yes.
Oh my gosh, that's nice. Oh, Rick
this is the Russian River.
Thrilled.
Yeah. You know, we have such a distinct style in Sonoma of Russian River Pinot. And this is it. Motion, they're very, you know, Rick and Amber, they're a great supporter of the arts. They support my Writing Between the Vines program. And they're just great people. And from great people comes great wine.
There you go. I think that's an ad somewhere.
Yes, and I'm available for bar mitzvahs and weddings. Who do we have on the line now?
Hi, this is Carissa Cruz with the Sonoma County Wine Growers, and I'm sending a huge congratulations to the Wine Road on its 200th podcast. Cheers to you, ladies, and look forward to the next 200.
Thank you. Thanks for calling. So I thought, since we're celebrating our 200th, I would just try to recap how this podcast came to be. I was a great admirer of Marcy's as a wine and travel journalist, and I happened to be at a conference where she was a speaker, and I thought, oh my gosh, I'm so excited. And I don't even remember what she talked about, but I'm sure I was enthralled. And then the next morning, spent the night at the conference at the hotel, and the next morning when I was in the lobby, there she came and sat across from me. So I normally just keep to myself, but I introduced myself because I was such a super fan. And
it was in the morning, and I wasn't rude or surly.
She was
now
being
that
polite.
You know me.
She was on, so she was polite. And I actually, and as dumb as it sounds, this is kind of when Twitter was a new thing, and I just was always floored at how she could have a complete thought in 140 characters. Like, all of her tweets were like, my gosh, who? I would have to abbreviate words and leave out punctuation. Like, right. By then I'd just delete the whole thing because it was stupid and it didn't make sense anymore. But it's like, oh, it was just amazing. I mean, that's a gifted writer. So anyway, we sort of, you know, a little bit of a friendship started there, and because I was an admirer. And so she happened to show up in my office one day with a map in her hand for the Wine Road. And she said, you know what the Wine Road needs? The Wine Road needs a podcast. We need to bring this map to life. Then, and I'm like, okay, what's a podcast? So she explained to me what a podcast was. And I'm like, okay, well, if you can figure out how to do that, look, the Wine Road will support that. So she did figure out how to, you know, download it onto her computer and she ordered the microphones. And we started out doing it in our warehouse, which was, you know, kind of a nightmare as far as sound and recording. But really, that's how it started. We put no thought into it whatsoever. The Wine Road podcast is called Wine Road Podcast because we didn't think about it ahead of time. And the first show, she, you know, took the lead as the host. And she said, this is Millie Winehouse with DJ Bessie Beth. And I'm like, what is happening?
Well, my thought process at the time was, I don't know if we should use our real names because what if this is a real bust? And then this might haunt us for the rest of our lives. So I came up with these aliases, but eventually we revealed our identities.
Oh my
but
God.
It was so
priceless.
Funny. But I have to, my hat is off. My hat's off to Beth because Beth is the most can-do person. I mean, you come to Beth with an idea, and she's just so enthusiastic about every darn thing, and she's willing to give it a go. And so you don't meet a lot of people like that. But the best part about that is she takes the idea, but she also grounds it in, you know, she makes it happen. And so that's the hard part. People can have ideas, but making it happen is a whole nother ball of wax.
Yeah, 200
and
episodes.
Go and do this. But I think what really boosted it was from that very first show. We just had so much fun.
Oh,
my God. I have so many outtakes and we're just laughing hysterically. I mean, and we weren't even having wine.
No.
It's just so funny. We're just cracking up.
Someday I'm sure I'm going to regret that Marcy's been the editor all along and she has all the outtakes. I think that someday I'm going to owe some money to somebody. I'm like, okay.
Yeah. And back then we didn't really have guests. It was just us making up the itineraries and creating the content. And then once we were here in the studio, we were able to have guests and people come and it was very impressive and it sounds great. And so, yeah, I mean, none of this would happen without you saying, yeah, let's do it. I don't know what it is, but let's do it. You know, that kind of can do is great, you know, makes it happen. And so we've had some success. I mean, even in our first year, we were invited to speak at the podcast movement. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of synergy here. I think what really works is because it is tourism and wine, people, it's a focus podcast. I think that makes it successful. It's an adjunct of the Wine Road. It makes perfect sense that this is brings the map to your ears.
Right.
And people relate to that and they can learn a lot and meet the winemakers, find out where to go, what to do. So it's a good play because, and it has longevity. So
I like your itinerary shows that you guys have done. Those are great. And you know, we try to do them. We'll record a thing and we'll go out and try some.
Oh, Richard is definitely our best audience because, I mean, we meet here once a month to record two or three shows. And then So the next month when we come back, Richard has done or gone to half the places that we talked about. I mean, you and Donna have done itineraries.
Yeah.
You know?
And, well, the other thing, too, is talking about the show is, for me, it's been I have learned so yeah. much about wine and met people that I would never meet.
Yeah.
And just it's fascinating.
It's like
and
a master class.
It's great.
Yeah.
It is. I mean, we do have a lot of fun, and it's casual, and it's very travel-centric for visitors, you know, things to see and do. But the winemakers that we have on, I mean, you really can learn a lot about their thought process and their goals, what they're trying to achieve with the wines they make. I mean,
and get a sense of them as people,
right.
Which is really nice because I think that all correlates to the kind of wines they make.
Yeah, and it makes, I mean, I have plenty of listeners who have written to me and said, we're coming out in a couple of months. I can't wait to go to this winery now because she sounds so interesting.
Yeah.
You might want to mention all the awards you've won.
Well, so we have won 3 Taste Awards for Best Food Drink Podcast from the Taste Awards, which has become quite the thing over the years. And we're also in the Taste Awards Hall of Fame, mm-hmm. the 8th class. We kind of got in. You know, we've been doing this for 8 years.
Yeah.
Can you believe it?
No.
You've seen me grow up.
No, I can't. my little Marcy.
I was just a little tot.
She's all grown up now.
Here I am. I can drink.
Yeah, something like that.
You guys crack me up.
We do have a good chemistry,
you do.
Beth and I.
Uh-huh.
We're different, but we're the same. It's the weirdest.
It is very
I don't know
strange.
Why it works. I don't know what the secret sauce is. I don't want to investigate it lest I dash it all and it ends. But
I always joke. I have a friend who came to dinner one night. Marcy was there. Marcy and her husband were there for a dinner party. And later, the friend says to me, "How do you know Marcy?" Like, I'm in a different zone than Marcy.
Or like,
I'm like, I know people. He was just thought you were so amazing and had traveled so much and knew so much. I'm like, yeah, I know. I don't know how I know. We have fun.
But we do have a secret sauce. I don't know what it is, but it seems to work.
Mm-hmm. Yes, it does.
Who do we have on the line now?
Hey guys, this is Gio from Russian River Vineyards, the winemaker and CEO there. And I just wanted to give a huge shout out and congratulations to the Wine Road podcast on so much success as a repeat guest. And I hope to come on again very, very soon. Their podcast is just fun, entertaining, down to earth. And I always bring great wine. They love it and have a good time. So cheers, you guys. Great job. Well done. You deserve it.
Thank you. Thanks for calling.
Thanks, Gio.
So, Marcy, I guess, are we still drinking our Pinot? Or are we?
You're not. Your glass looks empty.
I'm not wasting time. Oh, my God. This Pinot is amazing.
Prepare my glass.
So, Marcy's brought a secret wine also.
A secret wine. And one thing we forgot to mention was, you know, we really wanted to have Ron Rubin, mm-hmm. our
yes.
sponsor of the show, on this 200th episode, mm-hmm. but he could not make it. So we're going to schedule that a little later in the year.
Yeah, he'll be here probably in about a month. He'll be here in June. Yeah, so we're super excited about that.
So with that in mind, I brought...
Oh my gosh, that is awesome.
Ron Rubin, Blue Bin, Planet Friendly, 100% recycled bottle, the 2022 Pinot Grigio.
Oh, nice.
I just had that this weekend.
So
I drink that on a regular basis.
There's not just that the wine is good, but the whole idea that he's really the leading edge of creating these. There's like a thin glass coating in these bottles. Mm-hmm. They're super light. When we went out first to meet Ron Rubin talking about this new line, the Blue Bin, he had a box, a carry case, and he had us all pick it up. And how many bottles of wine do you think are in there? We're like, what? 2, 3.
Yeah.
It was 6 bottles.
Yeah.
Because the weight is reduced. You know, it's 100% recyclable. It's just so cool. So that's what I brought in homage to Ron Rubin.
I love that.
The Ron Rubin Blue Bin Pinot Gris.
Well, I do like the Pinot Gris.
He makes
three
a Chardonnay,
there's Chardonnay.
And also...
Is there Sauvignon Blanc, maybe?
Sauvignon remember. Blanc, correct.
Yeah, and then the Pinot Gris. I drink the Pinot Gris on a regular basis.
Can I pour for everybody?
You can.
And it's just, I don't need my...
It's a screw top. So for me, this wine, like, I'm surprised that I've been drinking it now this time of year, but I do like it.
Well, because you go rivering. Rivering.
Yeah.
I go rafting. You go rafting. You don't go rivering.
That'd be great. It wouldn't break if it falls out of the raft.
So last year, I got flipped on my little floaty going down the river.
Uh-huh. And feel the weight of that.
My little blue bin just floated down the river ahead of me, but I caught it, and it was...
Oh, your blue bin went on its own adventure?
Yeah. Tried to escape. It just floats. It's amazing.
Yeah, and it's delicious.
I drank it all summer long.
If Ron couldn't be here, at least the wine, one of his wines could be.
That's super cute. Oh, Marcy.
That's delicious.
Who do we have on the line now?
This is Harry Wetzel from Alexander Valley Vineyards wishing the Wine Road a happy 200th episode.
Thank you. Thanks for calling. So while we're enjoying this, do you have a book of the day you want to share?
I did. We used to do a book of the day quite frequently, but our shows, we've had so many interesting guests, I don't want to interrupt the flow by bringing a book. So this is an interesting book. It's brand new, and it is called The Wine List. What I love about this and why it works for the 200th episode is it goes from year to year. It has a page for the year of, you know, what was happening that year and related to wine through...
Starting at 1811?
Yeah, it starts even sooner. You know, dovetails into every year what was happening. You know, we had Judgment of Paris, all the important dates that happen in wine. And I thought it was so cool because we have a legacy too. Yeah. A podcast legacy.
I want to look at that when we're done here.
Yeah, the illustrations
are
beautiful.
Cool, yeah.
So it's a great... walk through history. I really like this book a lot because it takes you right up to the present day. And I don't buy a lot of books anymore, right. But I bought this, and it's by Grant Reynolds, and it's the Stories and Tasting Notes Behind the World's Most Remarkable Bottles.
Whoa. That is cool. I'll have to look at that when we're done here. I will look at just certain years, like the year you were born.
Yeah,
and
so,
that kind of thing,
so the year we were born, I don't think we want anyone to know that, but it's in here.
I'm not going to tell you what year
I'm
was
pretty
born.
Sure, pretty
I don't
sure
want
they
someone
can guess.
To spoof our identities by taking
good idea.
But it's in here.
I'm sure.
Well, let me make sure. I think my year is here. Oh, yeah, your year is here. We're 6 months apart, so we're in different years. Year. Who do we have on the line now?
Hey, it's George Christie here with Wine Industry Network and Cyene Vineyards. I just want to congratulate the Wine Road on their 200th podcast. That's amazing. Quite an accomplishment and just an incredible show.
Thank you, George.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Bye. So how long do you foresee doing this, Richard? Doing studio.
Well, welcome to your retirement.
Well, I mean, like you have you're the band that you meet, and your son, and do that, and then you do all this voiceover work. Uh-huh. I mean, do you think that that you have no vision of ending? Like you want to keep doing this for the next 10 years, or
as long as my hearing holds up?
Yeah,
I'm going to do it.
You love it.
I love it. It's not work. My brother and my two sisters have retired.
Yeah,
and they go, "Why don't you quit?" And I go, "Like, I like doing this."
That's what I'm thinking. And you can schedule what you do and don't want to, if you want to be gone for 2 weeks or 3 weeks, you can.
Yes. Plus, I have been really lucky to work with a lot of really interesting people.
Well,
and they won't let me quit. They don't like it. You just got to keep doing it.
And you have that awesome commute.
Yeah. What, at 50 paces from the house to the studio?
50 steps from your house to the studio. You can't beat. I mean, and when you're doing what you love... that's like an old,
a cliche.
Do what you love, you never work in day. But I find if you're doing what you love, you work even harder.
Mm-hmm.
It's more hard work, but it doesn't feel like a drudge. It's enriching.
Mm-hmm.
And hard work is enriching when it's something you love, but it's not that misnomer. Oh, it's a walk in the park because you're doing what you love. No, it's still a lot of work.
Yeah. So what else do you do? What else is recorded here that we can say?
Some stuff. I do a lot of post-production for some of the companies. And I've been lucky to work with Ken Byrne on a few of his documentaries, which was really fun. And the rest of it is...
really fun. And it's like, wow.
No,
it was
so cool.
No.
The first time you said that, I'm like, what?
Peter really Coyote and Ken Byrne are kind of like...
They work together a lot.
They're a lot of work together.
That all fell together.
Yeah.
So.
It's funny because often we have guests that are winemakers or from other walks of life, and they also are musicians, and they start looking around, and before they go, can I get your card? You know, they always want your card because
it is funny.
It's like, yeah, you know, I could see, you know, I have a band and, you know, we could use some professional sound, and they always want your card.
Oh, that's
so
funny.
It's really nice.
Yeah, I work with Chris McGilvery. He's in Santa Cruz, and he has Nomadic Bear Productions. He does a lot of winery-based documentaries.
Oh, and, that's right. You showed us some of that.
Yeah, and we're premiering Eden with a period at the end, Eden period, and it's the story of the people that own Mount Eden Winery and how he shot it over 7 years, and it's the story about
Lord.
How the kids don't want to take over the business and this whole thing, and so it's premiering at Cinequest. It's a beautifully shot film. The sound is great.
Yeah.
We'll drink to that.
The sound is, you know, marginal.
Yeah, really. Just turn the video off and listen
just
to
listen.
It.
Just listen.
Yeah. Well, when we did the sneak preview last month, the audience loved it, and it just got a lot of great
comments.
Oh, that's
exciting.
And it's a really good story.
When is that coming out?
I think the story is good.
The story is amazing.
Yeah.
Yep. So.
Huh. Yeah, I want to see that. I got to make a note of that.
But what is that out or is it coming out?
No, it's just at Cinequest. I mean, usually the whole thing goes to the film circuit and then a distributor picks
exactly.
it up.
Yeah. And then it gets picked up by a streaming service.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, cool.
Yeah.
That I don't have. Because it doesn't matter which streaming service you have. You don't have the one that you want for what you want to watch.
No.
Well, I always like order up a streaming service just so I can watch that one thing and then I cancel it. Like on Apple TV, which I never had. They had this great series on wine called Drops of God.
Oh, yeah.
Have you heard of this?
I've heard of it.
Oh, it's so good. It really gets wine right. I mean, of all the wine shows. So it's a story of a woman whose father was a famous winemaker, and then he wrote all these famous books. And then he dies, and his legacy is between his daughter and a student of his, and they have to blind taste and come up with, you know, to pass the test to inherit the legacy and this, you know, vast cellar that's worth, you know, thousands, hundreds of thousands of dollars. And so they have to go through these tests, and then there's a lot of, you know, drama. And intrigue. But it's really, really well done, and it's in French, English, and Japanese.
Wow.
It's fascinating.
And what's
it's
it so called good. Again?
It's called Drops of God.
Yeah. Okay, so we want the listeners to know that. Yeah,
yeah, and it's on Apple TV. Really shows wine, which is hard to come across in a storytelling because it's, you know, it's very subjective.
It's, taste, yeah.
it's in your head,
right.
But how they visualize that and how they show how they're, you know, going through identifying these wines, it's really great. Highly recommend.
I think that people want to know that. I mean, you would... Yeah. Your opinion would matter there.
Who do we have on the line now?
This is Sweet Chef Jen calling in from New Jersey, wanting to wish Millie Winehouse and DJ Bethy Beth congrats on 200 episodes.
Right on. That's it. That's perfect. Thank you very much.
Okay.
Love you.
Bye.
Bye.
Love you. Bye.
Okay, let's see. What else do we need to talk about? Oh, I was going to mention an item. I was tasked with bringing a wine item, and I thought, you know, I don't want to have something just, you know, dippy that I don't
dippy.
Really care about.
We don't do dippy.
Dippy's like my mom's word. But so I am falling back on something that we've talked about before and something that we did on the show because I... I'm never impressed with anything. Everyone knows that.
Your kids all know that.
The kids all know. Everybody knows it. Like, yeah, you tried. But I was so impressed with Vino Taster.
Oh,
I thought
oh, wow.
I wanted to make that my item that I talked about again today. So you can order this little tasting kit online. And I just have to say, we did the show live when we did the Vino Taster, and I did the test live. And it's like little tiny strips of paper that you taste and you make a note of, you know, what you taste in that. And I just tasted nothing and then I tasted nothing again. And I mean, I thought this is a fail, like this didn't work. But in the end, everything that I did showed the types of wines that I would like. And it was exactly spot on. I felt like it was a magic show. I mean, I could not believe it. And so then I got more testing kits and I did them with my family and they all kind of said the same thing. Like there isn't a distinct taste of any of the tasting strips. It's not super strong distinctive.
It's what you identify
well, I guess what
you
everybody
taste.
Tastes. Yes. Yeah. So my daughter, my son-in-law, my husband, they all did it, and they all had different outcomes, they all felt like it was exactly spot on for the kinds of wine they like. So I just thought it was super cool and fun, and I thought if people are going to go wine tasting for the first time or you know, they're planning a big trip out here, get the kit ahead of time and try it. It's just... it's fun, and it would give you direction when you go to a winery, the types of wines that you kind of ultimately lean toward.
Yeah, it's especially great for people new to wine, but even if you've been in wine for a long time, it's kind of awesome to see how, wow, I feel seen.
That's what I thought. I thought, well, that is what I like. That was perfect, so don't judge me. I really did like it. It was cool. So yeah, Vino Taster, and I think the website is just, it's VINOTASTR. I thought it was just...
I'm so glad you liked
that. I
just
thought it was
fun. That's so cool.
Yeah, I thought, well, if we're going to talk about something, make it something that really, you know...
it's so useful.
Wasn't cute. Well, it was just impressive.
Who do we have on the line now?
All right, this is Dustin Vallette from The Matheson and Vallette right here in Healdsburg. Wishing a happy 200th anniversary to Beth and Marcy for the Wine Road podcast.
Thank you. Thanks for calling.
You know, things I like as far as wine things are the Repour Wine Saver.
Oh, my God, yes.
That, I use that all the time.
Repour is just a foundation in my house because I taste through all the wines for Wine Road. In fact, right now at home, on my dining room table is all the wine set up and all my repours are out. It's like a ritual. I put out the glasses, I put out the repours, I put out the wine, I open the wine, and I taste through, and then I taste through the like a day later. And it's just such a tool for wine professionals, but also for consumers, because you don't always want to finish that bottle of wine. And I have tested this. You know, sometimes I'll taste through, and then like 3 weeks later, you know, we have a lot of wine in the house, and we taste it again, and it's just
so it goes in the bottle. You peel off the little foil thing, and it goes in your bottle
like
a cork.
Cork, yeah. And it helps with the oxygenation. You know, you look at it, it's like so simple. How is this working? But it's like magic, another magic product.
I think again, that's a recommendation from you for that, because I know that you will open, maybe I might have 20 bottles open at a time. And so at home, I might have it, use it for overnight or for 2 days, but I know that you will use it for weeks. You know, leave a bottle sitting opened with the repour for weeks and it still
and
is.
And I have,
so that's
yeah,
really
I've done
something.
My own testing where like I had a bottle that it was probably 2 months.
Yeah.
And I did it on purpose just to see. And it was still like it had not lost any of its vitality. The wine was good. And so most people probably don't do it for months at a time.
No, I mean, like Richard or me.
Two or three days.
Yes. Yeah. It's overnight or 2 days. Yeah.
But if it's going to be longer, but the Repour is really, it's an amazing product. I know a lot of wineries are using it now in the tasting room.
Right.
You know, because they can preserve that wine for a longer time and there's no degradation of the wine.
Well, and that it gives them the opportunity to open more different wines.
Exactly.
Know, not just try to only, we're only doing these three today.
The other thing, if you're having a party, you could open all this wine and then you don't have to worry about it because it's going to be preserved and it's still going to be great, you know, a couple of days, couple of weeks, even a month later.
So,
good mention, Richard.
I know it was a good mention. And I thought it was funny also. We had, what is it called? The Farms Place? The
Gold Ridge Farms.
Gold Ridge Farms.
We love
so
that place.
We had them on the show. And I just fell in love with the guy. And I thought, oh my gosh, I can't wait to go here. This sounds so amazing. And like the next time we came and recorded, Richard and Donna had already gone and done the tour
Christmas
and done that.
Present.
It was amazing.
She did. We went, it was an amazing place. And we were really lucky. The day we went was the first press of the year.
Oh,
so we got
olive
to see
oil.
The, what's it, it's an Italian name, the press machine.
It's a something,
not a Zabbi, that's an ice
that's
machine.
That's the ice machine. That's when you're ice skating.
Sorry.
They have a hockey rink there.
But it was really fun, really nice people, and we bought a lot of Christmas presents.
And beautiful spot.
It is gorgeous.
Yeah.
So
and it's just right down the hill here from our
probably
a month or so
after the show,
right here.
I did a... I hosted a happy hour at Silver Oak for one of our events. I don't know. It must have been Winter Wineland. And I had some podcast listeners from Washington, D.C. who had come for the event. And they had also gone to Gold Ridge Farms. They're like, oh, my gosh. And I'm like, oh, my gosh, I haven't even been there yet.
What I love that they make there, they make this shrub mix, which is a cider vinegar with the kumquat. It's all from there, the Meyer lemon. It's so good.
Yep.
And you can use it with just, you know, sparkling water and make a little shrub. Or you could put a little gin in it and it makes the most incredible cocktail.
Oh, no. We made
or a little vodka.
We did a gin and shrub. So it was
because
awesome.
Of the juniper.
There's
in
nothing
the gin.
On earth that makes
no, it was
gin
so
drinkable.
Good. No,
no,
it's
no
very
this,
good.
I could make this for you. You'd be shocked how good it is.
You'd be shocked how
So they make like a kumquat, Meyer lemon, and like a lavender. Those are delicious. And they make a Meyer lemon olive oil. They make some flavored olive oils as well. It's just it's so Sonoma.
Yeah.
And it's so Sebastopol. And it's beautiful, the view up there. So it's worth going. So I would check their website out because if they have an open house Saturday and you can go and they're doing the pizzas.
Yeah, and this time of year, the weather's beautiful.
Yeah,
I just love having someone from Washington, D.C. go there before I got a chance to go there.
It's cool. They do it like a wine flight. You have all these little cups of the oils going from the... You
the
know,
lighter
to
and,
the
so many great
pecanoli or something, which is like peachinoli, I think it's pronounced, but it's super.
And Brooke Hazen, the owner and the farmer, he's just so integrated and it's a great.
When he left that day, I said, "It was so great meeting you. I feel like you could really help me." And he goes, like he's very spiritual and holistic. And he goes, "I could."
Right. And he's also very.
A lot of people have tried.
Grounded in how food and our diet is everything.
Right.
And so, you know, they walk the walk there.
Oh, that's the thing. He has a YouTube channel, apparently, that's just his name that I have not yet looked up. But I think, I think. He just has probably great ideas for living a better life.
Yeah. I mean, I'm going to go visit some friends. And that's always what I bring is gifts. And it's all organic. It's so, you know, you can't miss. And the packaging is extraordinarily beautiful.
Marcy. She's going to go visit some friends. I think they're the friends in Paris.
Who do we have on the line now?
Hello. My name is Jonathan Paley, former podcast guest and Wine Road superfan. Just wanted to congratulate Beth and Marcy on episode number 200. Really love what you gals do. Looking forward to tasting with the both of you next time my wife and I are in the area. Cheers.
Thank you. Thanks for calling. I think we probably need to wrap it up. Anything else, Richard, that we want to tell people about? I think, what is your favorite thing about doing the podcast with us?
Well, like I said earlier, just the people that I get to meet. And I get to try all these amazing wines and the places that I'm a fourth generation Sonoma County.
Right.
My mom's side of the family came from Cloverdale. And you find these places I've never heard of. And they're like... You know, like going to the coast and stuff, the Salmon Creek, where that little secret road is. Before you get there, it's called Bean Road.
Yes.
And you go through the little neighborhood, and then you go right to the dunes. There's a little parking lot. And so that's like our favorite place to go on the coast, because there's like nobody around.
Right.
So it's that kind of stuff. So that's what I really enjoy.
Yeah.
Is that, plus, you guys are a lot of fun to work with.
We put the fun in fun.
Yeah, exactly. So I think we're wrapping it up, and we're going to head out and have lunch, because we have some celebrating to do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we're going to go to Sebastopol. We're going to go to the Goldfinch.
I can't wait. I haven't been there.
It's new. None of us have been there yet.
Nope.
Yeah, I can't
wait. So we'll see. Hopefully they won't kick us out because we're coming in a little hot.
200 shows. This is awesome.
Yeah, really. Hats off. Thank you, Beth. Thank you for doing this. Thank you, Richard. And really, we can't wait to talk to Ron Rubin.
Yeah, he'll be
That's
here next
coming
month.
Up mm-hmm. next month. Thank you, Ron Rubin, our sponsor. It's really, you know, we're here because of you as well as
yes,
anything else. And really, it's been a success because of all the elements, you know, Richard and Beth and Ron and all the great winemakers and places to go in the Northern Sonoma County. You can't miss.
That's right.
It's a great, great place.
It's been a pleasure to work with you guys in 200 more?
I said
onward to 300, but I don't know.
300.
We'll see.
How many years would it take to get to 300?
16 years? No, it's 12 years.
okay, that's not going to happen.
Yeah.
But we'll, you know, 250 easily.
We'll aim for 250.
We could get that under our belts.
We'll aim for 220. I like to aim for 202.
Yeah. Beth doesn't like odd numbers. She
I know.
Only likes even numbers. I learned that from her. So cheers to you, Beth, Richard.
Cheers.
Here to our listeners. Thank you.
Yeah,
that's
yes.
The other
listeners keep us going.
Component. Without you, none of this matters. So thank you for listening. Thank you for writing all those nice notes to Bethy Beth. And I guess we'll see you on the wine road, unless you have one more thing. You
nope,
always
no,
do.
No, I have no more things.
Oh, it's a miracle.
I know.
It's a podcast miracle. So cheers, and we'll see you on the wine road.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Bye.